Welcome to the Special Needs Kids Are People Too podcast with Amy Bodkin, EDS. Amy is an autistic adult who also happens to be a school psychologist turned special needs consultant and public speaker. She's also a homeschooling mom to two autistic kiddos, a yoga instructor, a card-carrying Trekkie, and an all-around fun person. And last but not least, Amy is an advocate for seeing every child as a person, not a diagnosis. Because a special needs kid is just like any other child, just more so. Here's Amy Bodkin.
Hi, I'm Amy Bodkin, coming to you from the blanket fort in my office, and welcome to Special Needs Kids Are People Too. We've been talking about storytelling and the important role that storytelling plays, not just in our culture at large, but for children, especially children who have some kind of a difference from the average. And today, we're going to expand that topic to include the importance of storytelling as a means of communication. One of the hot topics right now in the world of speech therapy is something called Gestalt Language Processing. And it's been around for a little while. The research was first published in the 1980s, but it takes a long time for research to make it to practical application. So right now, Gestalt Language Processing is the hot topic. But a lot of people are really confused about what Gestalt Language Processing is. And I came up with an excellent example the other day to explain how Gestalt Language Processing is supposed to work. It comes from a Star Trek episode. I know you guys are shocked. There is an episode in Star Trek The Next Generation called Darmok. And in this episode, the Enterprise meets up with another ship. And this ship is full of Tamarians. And unfortunately, they have never been able to establish any kind of formal relations with this group of people because they've never been able to figure out a way to communicate. Their language is so different that the universal translator cannot figure it out. As the Tamarian vessel and the Enterprise meet, their captains attempt to communicate unsuccessfully. And eventually, the Tamarian captain gives instructions to have himself and Captain Picard beam to the surface and to block all transporter functions so that they cannot be beamed back. There is a monster or a beast on this planet, and together the Tamarian and Captain Picard face this beast together. The Tamarian is injured, and Captain Picard is still struggling to try and understand what this man could possibly be trying to tell him. He keeps repeating phrases like Darmok and Jalad at Tanagra and Shaka when the walls fell and other phrases like that that have no meaning to Captain Picard. As he takes care of the injured Tamarian captain, Captain Picard begins to sense a glimmer of what might be behind the words that the captain is using. And he starts to tell the Tamarian captain a story similar from Earth's history. Gilgamesh and Enkidu at Uruk. Meanwhile, on the Starship Enterprise, they are putting their best minds at work trying to figure out how to communicate with this other ship. And Data and Counselor Troy eventually figure out that the language is based on idiom, that you have to understand the mythology and the stories that are important to the Tamarians in order to understand their language. For us, Counselor Troy says, it would be like saying Juliet on her balcony, and it might trigger feelings of love. Eventually, the Tamarian captain dies from his wounds. Captain Picard is beamed back to his ship, and he contacts the Tamarian vessel to tell them, in their own language, what happened. At the very end of the episode, Commander Riker is talking to Captain Picard. He sees him reading a book and says, Greek, sir? And Captain Picard says, oh, the Homeric hymns, one of the root metaphors of our own culture. And Riker says, for the next time we encounter the Tamarians? And Captain Picard responds with, more familiarity with our own mythology might help us relate to theirs. The Temarian was willing to risk all of us just for the hope of communication, connection. Now the door is open between our peoples. That commitment meant more to him than his own life. I think a lot of times that is what is happening with our own children. Our children want connection and communication with us, and they're doing their best to reach out to us. But sometimes when they reach out to us, it's not in a way that we understand. And we have to get creative with how we think about the way that they're reaching out to us. Maybe they are repeating phrases over and over again from a television show, and we think it must be meaningless repetitions. But if we watch closely, maybe sometimes it's them reaching out for some sort of connection with us. That is what Gestalt language processing is all about. In reality, very few things in life actually are extremes. Usually, it is a balance between two extremes. And sometimes that balance ends up a little bit heavier on one side than the other. And we can think about Gestalt language processing like that, as opposed to analytic language processing. Basically, it's this idea that you can learn a language by learning whole parts that eventually lead to being able to put single words together. So basically learning language from phrases to individual words, or you can learn individual words to build phrases. In reality, we probably all use a little bit of both. And when those are in balance, that's probably when language development works best. But sometimes we'll be more extreme on one end than the other. And just because we might have a little bit different balance than the average doesn't mean that we shouldn't try to work within someone's strengths. Because when we use their strengths to help form connection or to help strengthen weaker areas of processing, it allows us to have the ability to communicate and a sense of connection with each other. And that's what we actually really want.
Are you homeschooling a student or want to be homeschooling a student who learns a little different from the average student? I'd highly recommend checking out a Charlotte Mason Plenary. A Charlotte Mason Plenary is a homeschool company focused on the philosophy of Charlotte Mason. Charlotte Mason was an educational philosopher in the late 1800s, early 1900s, who recognized the importance of not just educating a child body and mind, but also educating them as a whole person with a diet rich in the humanities, the studies of what makes us better human beings. It is not enough to know everything. You also have to know how to use that knowledge in a way that contributes positively to the world. A Charlotte Mason Plenary has all sorts of resources for helping you do Charlotte Mason your way. We also have form guides over there that allow you to plan a customized curriculum in 3 easy steps. And I even partnered with a Charlotte Mason Plenary to create a developmental form guide that goes with these guides that explains to you where to place your child and how to make all sorts of adaptations for different types of learners. Go check it out at cmplenary.com.
As far as therapy goes with Gestalt language processing, there have been several different stages that have been identified as the way that we might identify where a child's language development is at. Because if you are a Gestalt language processor, then your language development is not going to measure using our traditional tools correctly. Repeating lots of phrases, echolalia, will basically account for no language at all because of the way our tests are designed. They're designed not for a purely Gestalt language processor. Stage 1 is echolalia. This is when children are scripting whole Gestalts. For example, if a child wants to say they want to go somewhere, then they might say, Wonder Pets, we're on our way. Because the Wonder Pets are going somewhere in the video, and so then that translates to a favored phrase that the child might use to represent going somewhere. Stage two is mix and match stage. So it's kind of a trimming down where you have partial gestalts. And this is where they take those larger phrases from stage one into smaller chunks. So instead of saying, "Wonder pets, wonder pets, we're on our way," then they might say, "We're on our way." Or you might have a mixing of two gestalts. So you might say, "We're on our way," and then pair that with a phrase from a video that indicates some place you want to go. Then there's single words and two-word combinations in stage three. That's where you're really beginning to break things down. So you might say, "On our way," and then maybe add that to where you want to go. Stages four through six, this is where new original phrases or sentences with beginning grammar, more advanced and complex grammar begins. And that is where they start using those phrases decomposed to create new ways of communicating new thoughts. And therapy with children who are gestalt language processors really works in a lot of the same ways that therapy works for children with delays in language who are not gestalt language processors. Some of the things that we try to achieve in speech therapy are things like building a genuine connection with the child and trying to understand what's important in their world. We also try to notice and honor communication attempts. And sometimes those are harder to recognize if a child's way of communicating is vastly different from our own, just like in the Star Trek episode, Darmok. Building on current language systems. So taking the communication that they are putting forth and trying to go, okay, how can we build on what we've got? Instead of saying, "You're doing it wrong, you have to relearn how to do everything my way." That doesn't really work because it says that the child's attempts at communication are not valid, are not important, are not good enough. What a terrible message to send our children when they're trying to reach out for connection. Another thing that we try to attempt to do with therapy is trying to tap into the other tools and abilities that that child has in their lives, whether it's a caregiver's expertise or people who are willing to invest in that child. And we also try to include self-regulation, sensory strategies, because when a child is not at their best, they do not communicate at their best. And that also includes addressing physiological health needs and also psychological health needs. When a child is super anxious, they're not going to learn to communicate as effectively or be able to communicate as effectively with the strategies for communication that they already have. When a child feels really bad inside because they are sick or have some kind of physiological issue going on, they're not going to communicate as well. When we feel bad as adults, whether it's anxiety, some other kind of psychological health issue, or some kind of physiological issue, we don't communicate at our best. So how could we expect children to communicate at their best? All of these strategies are the same for any kind of speech therapy. However, when we recognize that some kids are gestalt language processors, it makes a difference because we recognize their attempts at communication. And when we recognize those attempts at communication, it opens up the possibilities for building on those attempts. To this point, speech therapy has primarily looked at language as being something that has a single way of developing, building word upon word to create phrases and then phrase upon phrase to create sentences. And the brain does have very specific ways that language develops. We can see this in the way that languages develop across our world. All languages in our world that are known have the same basic grammatical structure. And there are a lot of similarities in the way that language is developed worldwide. But if we consider for a moment that all people learn language using both analytical language processing and gestalt language processing, and we consider that there could be a different balance in those two different methods of acquiring language, then that opens up an entirely new world, especially for autistic children that show a lot of echolalia. We have tried teaching children with echolalia how to develop language in a word-by-word fashion, to build phrases and phrase-upon-phrase fashion. And honestly, it has not been effective. And while it may work for some children, we have not seen the dramatic differences that we do with some of the other programs to increase processing abilities. We do see a huge difference sometimes in a child's ability to communicate when honoring their gestalt language processing. The real trick, though, to understanding and connecting and communicating with a child who is a gestalt language processor is that we have to know their stories. We have to invest in the mythology that they use to communicate, whether that's their favorite TV shows, or their favorite storybooks, or their favorite songs. But when we make it our business to be an expert on what's important to them, it opens up the opportunity for connection. And that is what language development is all about. It's why we try to communicate with language. It's not because we're trying to learn things. It's not because we're trying to advance our academic achievement. It's because we want to connect and we want to have a relationship with other people. We are social beings, and there is nothing more important. The Star Trek Next Generation episode, Darmok, is a very good example of this, especially with what Captain Picard says at the very end of the episode. The Temarian was willing to risk all of us just for the hope of communication, connection. Now the door is open between our peoples. That commitment meant more to him than his own life. And I think the same could be said of our own children. They want connection with us, and it is worth it to become an expert on PBS Kids, Pokemon, or Bluey, or video games, anime, whatever it may be that is your child's mythology, their chosen mythology, what they connect with. I know sometimes certain shows can get old. I know sometimes certain shows don't seem to be terribly great programming quality. But if it's important to your child, then it definitely has value. I hope that this description and this analogy of gestalt language processing has helped you understand something that is brand new in the discussions of speech therapy. And I also hope that it opens up the possibilities in your own mind to connecting with the things that your child loves. Whether they have delays in language or not, understanding what our children love and taking note of those things and learning to understand the details of those things they love is going to open up connection, whether they have language delays or not. And what we really want from our children is connection, especially as some of our children approach those teen years where connection can sometimes become a little more difficult. Perhaps one of the best things that we can do is to learn what is important to our children and to invest in learning more so that we can have more connection. Thanks for being with me today, and join me next time for another great episode on storytelling.
We hope you had fun listening to today's episode and gained some new insights into the wonderful variety of people in our world. You can find out more about Amy's advocacy work at amybodkin.com. And remember, special needs kids are people too.